Much to the Buddha, much to the Dharma, much to the Sangha. One of the things that I learned in my year-long retreat in 1998-1999 was that in whatever way we are karmically disposed to approach the issue, for each of us, there's a deep longing for, and in terms of our karmic inheritance, we have inherited a deep sense of separation from the love of the eternal. I also learned in a way I had never known before that when we are convinced that we are separate from the love of the eternal, we suffer from what is in fact an illusion. We're someone who, in the midst of great riches, is convinced they're utterly impoverished. So the question is, why is it that we can be so can feel so separate from love when in truth such a separation never exists in reality? It is in fact an impossibility. How can we be so convinced of an impossibility and come to see that as the reality of things? A great deal can be said, a great deal has been said and written about causes of this in terms of karmic history. That's not what I wish to focus on this evening. I want to focus on something that, while it is certainly a manifestation having its roots in karmic history, in the end, whatever its particular causes may be, it still has to be approached in our training in certain practical ways. Dealt with in its immediacy in certain practical ways. To put the point of this evening's talk very clearly, very plainly, it is just this. That it is we who blind ourselves to the love of the eternal. It is we who have to do the right thing when we are blinding ourselves to stop blinding ourselves. There is plenty of help available to do this. And in the end, it is something we have to put into practice. And what it is that we have to put into practice is that we have to stop hating ourselves. And the way to stop hating ourselves is to allow that in ourselves that we hate to be embraced within meditation. Since in fact there is not a self, some substantial and enduring entity separate from the eternal. This works out in practice for each of us that there are certain things about ourselves that certain aspects of a makeup of our body and mind, of our experience, past and present, that we like, and there's certain things that we dislike. If dislike is allowed to become deeply rooted, dislike becomes hatred. there can be aspects of our body that we dislike and that we come to hate. There can be certain states of feeling that we dislike and that we come to hate. There can be certain trains of thought, certain memories that we dislike and that we come to hate. There can be choices that we've made that we dislike and that we come to hate. Meditation has to do with a moment-to-moment awareness and a moment-to-moment choice. The choice to meditate is a choice to accept. The choice to bring something to the stillness of the hara or not to do so. The choice to embrace from the hara or not to do so. When I was a new monk, one of the things I heard Reverend Master say most frequently when people asked her about aspects of their suffering, she would say, embrace it. Embrace it. This is not to say that there are not aspects of ourselves we don't need to do something about or that it's not good to do something about. And there's all the difference in the world between doing something because it's good to do it, making changes because it's good to make change in certain areas, and simply hating something and wishing passionately that one can simply be rid of it. Whenever we go down that road, we hit obstacles everywhere. That is a road where truly we stand in our own shadow and blind ourselves to the light of the love of the eternal. The fundamental act of having compassion for ourselves is the allowing of every aspect of ourselves to be embraced within the stillness of meditation. This is particularly difficult, particularly challenging, when we're experiencing intense spiritual and/or physical pain. Yet the more we resist it, the more we suffer. Now obviously, if one is injured, one should attend to the injury. And one should not seek out pain and discomfort. In order to practice embracing it. One doesn't need to do that because we each have enough to be getting on with without doing that. Ramessa used to say, you don't need to raise a bump in order to itch. One only has to sit down and look at the wall in meditation, and one becomes aware enough of one's own suffering. What I'm speaking of here is not asceticism. It is not unnecessary, unhelpful, and ultimately futile and even harmful self-torment. It is accepting that which can only be dealt with through acceptance. It is choosing to embrace rather than to hate. Is choosing to look up within suffering rather than to look down. Remember that one can despair in a very passive way simply by giving up. One can despair in an active way by thrashing against the inevitable. They're both despair. And people very commonly swing between the passive and active forms of despair. But here we're talking about something that isn't despair at all, but a positive act, putting the meditation into practice on a moment-to-moment basis. It may seem cold comfort if someone asks, why do I not know the love of the eternal? To say, because you blind yourself to it. But note that if we blind ourselves to it, if it is something that we are actually doing that blinds us to the love of the eternal, and it is something that we are doing that blinds us to the love of the eternal, then it is true that if we stop doing that and do it actually works, we are no longer blinded to the love of the eternal. On a purely spiritual basis, there is always a positive choice offered us. There is always the choice to look up. There is always the choice to take refuge in the eternal through pure meditation. If we go looking for love in the wrong places, because we refuse to take true spiritual responsibility for ourselves, we should not be surprised if we feel alienated from the love of both man and God. And this is the common state of human beings. In a world in which people look so doggedly to external things for the solution to the problem of suffering, but the cause of suffering is within ourselves, and it is within our own power to stop doing that which blinds us to the true reality. It is true, as I often say, that in actual fact the Eternal does all the heavy lifting. And there is part of the lifting that the Eternal will not do for us. It's that simple. The Eternal will not make our choices for us. One comes to see that this itself is a manifestation of love. If we choose to blind ourselves, if we choose a path of like and dislike, if we choose to wallow in self-hatred, the Eternal will not stop us. It is not the Eternal's problem that we do such things or do not do such things. Real love does not attempt to take true spiritual freedom away from the beloved who live their life for them. If even for a moment we truly stop blinding ourselves, well, there it is. There is love. It never hid itself from us. Never even for a moment.